forced labour is defined in the international law as being all work or service exacted from a person under menace of any sort of penalty for which they haven't offered themselves voluntarily.
Now you have to sign a contract. You have to seek work, you have to take work, or you will lose your benefit.
They will lay off their own staff, and eventually you'll have a workforce which is just unemployed people on benefits, and it will inevitably become slave labour.
The whole idea is to save money but waste people. There is no necessity for doing what they're doing at the moment with austerity. This is totally bogus.
I felt I had no choice but to go onto that programme because I felt threatened.
There's almost like a kind of conspiracy going on. I mean, it's not a conspiracy, but it sort of feels that way, where the people who are benefiting from this system will do anything they can to maintain it.
From February to April 2013, the number of people out of work rose to 2.56 million, according to the Office for National Statistics. The number of people claiming Job Seekers Allowance, however, fell to 1.53 million. Analysts suggest the disparity between rising unemployment rates and a fall in Job Seekers Allowance claims is due to the fact that many job seekers are being unlawfully sanctioned by the Job Centre. ...23-year-old graduate Kate Riley took the government to court after being forced to work for free at a Poundland store. The Department for Work and Pensions Secretary Ian Duncan Smith, however, has not recanted on workfare and continues the government's harsh austerity drive. Public indignation has reached breaking point as more and more people refuse to participate in what they see as forced labour or slave labour schemes like workfare. In order to understand the wider implications of welfare reform in relation to the regime's monetary policy, I met with author and economic analyst David Moussa Pidcock.
We shouldn't be surprised we're under a Tory government, or any government for that matter. It's something that is insane, but the whole idea is to save money but waste people. There is no necessity for doing what they're doing at the moment with austerity. This is totally bogus. But to force people to do things that otherwise they shouldn't be expected to do is unfair and unnecessary, because there are other people who would probably do a full-time job doing this, the kind of work. I think it may be relating to that young lady who was preferred to be stacking books rather than, you know, cans of baked beans on shelves. But it's, in what way was that helpful to her career? If it was a charitable thing that everybody was expected to do, it wouldn't be a problem, but it isn't. This is typically Tory terror tactics.
We've got nearly a million unemployed young people. We've got a very high unemployment rate, 2.5 million people unemployed in total. It's not that they're lazy, it's that the jobs aren't there. And certainly we can always point at certain individuals. You know, there's always a few media storms around certain individuals who've got, you know, very large families and don't want to work. But they're the exception, they're not the majority. The majority want to work. And the other thing that should be remembered, of course, is that the majority of benefit claimants actually are in work. They're in low-paid work. So this idea that there's this, you know, army of lazy people out there who just want to exploit the state is complete nonsense. If the state gives them free labour and then pays their benefits, the private sector isn't therefore contributing at all. They're getting something for nothing. So what will happen, without any shadow of a doubt, is that these companies will get more and more people in from unemployed. They will lay off their own staff, and eventually you'll have a workforce which is just unemployed people on benefits, and it will inevitably become slave labour.
Body Slavery International is the oldest international human rights organisation in the world. We've been working since 1839 on eradication of slavery in all its forms, and we continue to do that to this day.
Many job seekers are also being forced into unpaid labour schemes like workfare. The workfare scheme forces job seekers to work for free or face crippling sanctions by the job centre.
I think the workfare programme can be forced labour. Forced labour is defined in international law as being all work or service exacted from a person under menace of any sort of penalty for which they haven't offered themselves voluntarily. I think some of the manifestations that we've seen of the workfare programme suggest that it is forced labour which doesn't fall into these exempt categories. So it's quite a risky area at the moment. Article 4 of the Human Rights Convention is the one that relates to forced labour and servitude. So under the terms of that, Kate's case does look to me very much like forced labour for a number of reasons. First of all, it wasn't in her interest. She was already working voluntarily for something that was going to gain her benefit and maybe get her a job down the line. And secondly, the fact that these young people are being forced to work or compelled to work in profit-making enterprises, and there's a dangerous risk that comes into that then, because you're starting to talk about undercutting minimum wage and lowering of standards for everybody.
So there's almost like a kind of conspiracy going on. It's not a conspiracy, but it sort of feels that way. It's the whole ethos of the government, this whole idea of targets, which comes from, unfortunately, a free market ideal, which says that everything can be run for profit. Everything can be measured by how much money you're making or how much money you're saving, which takes no account of people's lives. I mean, you know, it's human beings that are suffering for this.
Whenever you're given no choice and you're actually working for the profits of others rather than the benefit of yourself or your community, there's a very, very strong case to answer that this is an issue of forced labour.
The Job Centre's managerial staff declined to be interviewed. We were later informed that they had ordered security patrols not to allow us anywhere near the entrance, much less film the secretive proceedings inside.
If the jobs are out there, I like to find it, because I've sent out lots of CVs regarding with the Job Centre's universal website. I've sent CVs, but I haven't had any response to any of my CVs that I sent out. I haven't received any feedbacks whatsoever.
I think the systems are wrong, the people in charge at the very top are wrong, the people in charge do not know the present, they have their own interest at heart, and they're not interested. From my experience, there are no jobs, okay? And if there is a job, then it's as a result of no experience on the part of the person saying there is a job, okay?
A lot of kind of not voluntary but you know, in exchange for, I suppose, payment and experience, getting into the routine, which is a very important thing as well, you know, just getting into that work routine, really getting up and getting somewhere on time. So there are benefits to that, but I think it's the other part of the triangle, really. It's the employers. I think they might have had an eye and they've taken advantage of it too. If there is an accusation to be made, it's probably from there, really. Okay, you could be conspiratorial and say about cooking the books, about people being taken off the unemployment list temporarily in order to do something that's not germane or relevant to their aspirations, I suppose. That's an accusation that would probably hold water, I suppose. But I would point the finger more immediately at the employers rather than the authorities, as it were.
Well, BECDU is the trade union for workers in the media and entertainment industries. So we cover a range of different sorts of work in film, television, theatre, live entertainment. I cover the team of officials that looks after our members working in film, the whole of the film industry, and in the independent TV sector, both staff and freelance. BECDU would, unreservedly condemn workfare. I mean, if you like, the official government workfare scheme. You know, the idea that benefits to keep you going when you're not fortunate enough to be in a job should be withheld on condition that you actually go and work, especially for a mainstream employer, and contribute to their business and contribute to their profits, when actually the only reason why you haven't got a job in the first place is because employers like them aren't offering enough of them. I mean, it's part of the whole ideology of making unemployment the fault of all the individual people who happen to be unemployed. I mean, we've got a systemic crisis at the moment, and that's not why people are unemployed. So official government workfare is an outrage. We don't encounter that particular set of problems for our members, I have to say, just because of the sector we're talking about and the sort of work they do. What we do encounter regularly are people in positions which are often called internships, or they might be referred to as volunteers, or they might be referred to as on work experience, but basically they're in a company, they are working, they are making a contribution to that company's business, but they're not being paid. And in our view, that's a breach of the National Minimum Wage Act, and that's the area where we're most active.
So one of the things that we're seeing with Workfare, which is one of the more problematic aspects of it, is that people are being compelled, under threat of removal of their benefits, to undertake work which isn't necessarily in their interests, but is to the benefit of other people who are receiving their very cheap labour.
But Mrs Thatcher doubled our national debt when she came to power, 79. By the time she'd left, it had gone from about 79 billion to 168 billion. So remember, Miliband, all of these politicians are not working for the interests of the people who elected them. They are working to maintain the system that's been in power now for 300-400 years in this country. And the whole system is rotten to the core.
Now you have to sign a contract that says you do your bit and we'll do ours. It requires you to have a real CV, and it makes clear you have to seek work, you have to take work, or you will lose your benefit. You know our work experience program, where we give young people a chance to work in a supermarket, in a shop, or in an office? Here's what one trade union official said about it. I quote, "The scheme belongs back in the 19th century, along with Oliver Twist and the workhouse. It is nothing short of state-sponsored slavery." What a snobbish, appalling, outdated, wrong-headed attitude to the idea of work. We're not sending young people up chimneys, we're giving them a chance. What is cruel is not asking something of people, it's when we ask nothing of them. Work isn't slavery, it's poverty that's slavery. And let it again be us, the modern, compassionate Conservatives, who lead the fight against poverty in Britain today.
In terms of some of the government's defences for the Workfare programme, I think a lot of them come to a certain degree unstuck by the fact that this is so plainly benefiting private individuals within the private sector. There's brave individuals like Kate Riley who have taken cases to court and, I think, and sought at least to improve working conditions, improve living conditions for workers and vulnerable workers in her position. The response of the government to that was introduced retrospective legislation, which is hugely problematic from a question of the basic principles of rule of law. If we look at this scheme against the 1934 Labour Convention and the various other aspects of international law, we can see that there is risks and practices of forced labour associated with it. And I think it's very important that we state that clearly.
Because of the system that we've inherited and we haven't challenged, the only way money is put into circulation is through employment. It's not about work, you know, employment gets in the way of work that needs doing. This system that we have means that it is a form of slavery and something that is unnecessary. If we had a different method, which is possible and has worked and does work wherever it's implemented, then there is no necessity to, it basically like indentured labour. We used to do it under the British Raj. We would send people from India to the Caribbean and places like that. So it is a demonic mentality that forces people to do that. It's something that you only get something if you put something in. Well, who has created the system that forces us to borrow money as a government? If the government was not borrowing money, it was creating it everybody could, people could stay at home and do things that are useful. They could stay at home and look after children. So the thing is that when you hear people saying, well, the government has to borrow, it doesn't have to borrow. It's only when the governments borrow money where you have to have this idea that you don't get anything unless you're seen to be going out to work. This is workhouse mentality from the 19th century.
The truth is there are people who will choose to work, I mean sometimes quite knowingly, who will choose to work for free when they realise that they're entitled to be paid, and they just choose not to press that entitlement. I think all you can do is carry on having the argument, because I mean I've had arguments with those people, and they say, of course they would, wouldn't they, it's my individual right to choose to do this. What I would say is, A, they're a fool to themselves, because actually, insofar as they're getting a reputation in the labour market, it's a reputation for being an idiot. It's a reputation for being somebody who's prepared to give away your time, your skills, your energy for free and let an employer walk away with all the benefit of that without paying a penny for it. And, of course, they're undermining the position of a lot of other people.
The problem with the current political system is that people feel very alienated, they feel very disillusioned, and they've disengaged. And you can see by the steady drop in, you know, how many people vote at the general election. And because people disengage, therefore they're not sure what's going on, what the problem is. The mainstream media don't help at all because they've got their own agenda.
Well, there's positive news today, which is the economy is growing, we're creating jobs, and crucially, at a time when many other countries in the world face a lot of instability, we're providing stability in Britain. And what you can also see from today's economic numbers is that the economy is growing, jobs are being created, and that's good news.
This is a public broadcasting service, I can't be rude, but Osborne is a paid fool. He, like Mrs. Thatcher, and most people believe that all the money in the world is just what is in Mrs. Thatcher's handbag. George Osborne's letter to Mervyn King, basically agreeing that Mervyn King would create another 350-odd billion, you know, and so Charlie Chaplin found out in his meeting with John Maynard Keynes at Lady Astor's, he asked him, how was the money, how do we solve the problem? He said, we just create things out of thin air, kun fae kun be and it is, and all the money you will require can come out of nothing, as it is done by the banks. They create money out of nothing. And the whole thing is a bookkeeping exercise. So the idea that there's so much money in the world is total and utter nonsense. But probably like many of these people, they went to the London School of Economics, LSE, which means let's steal everything. And but they are fools, because to think that money is a finite resource when it is created every day by banks is total nonsense. So people watching, if they're thinking, well, there's only so much money, this is nonsense. Anthony Nelson, who was also an MP for Chichester, he also had another job along with his mate, Norman Lamont, with N.M. Rothschild. And remember, Lamont went back to Rothschild. These are all working for money lenders. All the people need to know that there is no scarcity of money. It is only kept in artificial scarcity, because what is the problem? Inflation isn't the problem. Inflation is the solution to us, ordinary people. But for the, whatever it is, 0.1% of the money, the people involved in the finance industry, which is totally non-productive and counterproductive, they wish to keep money in scarcity. Because then you would you go to the Treasury and borrow money for your project at 0%, or go to N.M. Rothschild or HSBC and they would charge you whatever it is at the moment? It's certainly not 0%, which would be the most obvious thing for any government department. Why would you borrow from Osborne and Cameron, remember? Cameron, all of them, these are all descendants of money lenders. Now, the Treasury could say, NHS, you need 9.3 billion, issue it. Now, letters between King and Osborne prove that. Every year they have an agreement. So the money could be created now, no need for strikes, no need for people to be unemployed. It could all be solved by expanding M0 from 2.8% to 100%. End of story.
I can well believe that people feel as if they're being pushed into a corner and they don't see the immediate or even mid-term benefits.
I've been looking for work now for about 3 months. I'm looking for manual work or driving work. The job centre haven't helped much at all. A lot of the jobs they've got advertised on their job search computers don't actually exist. They are to register with agencies, and one of the job searches that I actually printed off their computer, I went home, phoned it straight away, and they said they didn't have any vacancies. I said, well, you must have, because I've got the printout in my hand. And they said, no, we haven't ever had a vacancy. So I think a lot of the jobs that's actually on their computers are made up.
You see, I have picked up this many printouts, right? And if you look at them, there are no email addresses. What they are saying is they have a site address, right? Now, if you are constantly applying for jobs, yeah? Constantly applying for jobs, you have to enter your name and what you call create an account with them.
I was a journalist back in Poland, but I quit studies. I must say I love this job, but you can't make a lot of money on it, especially at the beginning, yeah, and I can't afford working for free.
Everything that you're told to do, you're threatened. You're always threatened with you're going to lose your benefits. You must do what we tell you or you'll lose your benefits. Even when I asked them for help, I went to them and told them I wanted to be self-employed. They said, right, we're going to send you on this course. If you don't go to this course, you're going to lose your benefits. I said, but you're not sending me on a course. I asked you to send me on a course. Of course I'm going to go to it. I've asked you for help. But even though you're asking for help, you're getting threatened that you're going to lose your money.
Here's a job, you can do it, you can do it for free, we're still going to help you. I think it's fair in a way that a person can develop from it. But it's not fair if you're going to offer a job to do it voluntarily and you won't get paid for it and then your benefits will be cut off. Because there's a lot of people here that £70 per week is ridiculous.
I'm a qualified gym instructor. But you know, sometimes I look for letting agents work and customer service work and stuff like that, and obviously gym instruction work as well. I just think it's just everything, just numbers and targets. There's no connection, physically and mentally. Everything to me, my opinion, is just numbers and targets that the worker has to fulfil for the month or the company. That's what I'm thinking.
I've been on a work program last year, even though it was for working construction, I was told, I felt I had no choice but to go onto that program because I felt threatened. At the end of it, I didn't come out with nothing. No certificate, no nothing. So I was back to square one again.
Every time I go in there, which is fortnightly, it seems to be an argument. At one point, I wasn't happy on how I was getting treated in there, so I explained to them that I was going to record my conversations in there, which they didn't like at all. They refused to sign me that day, and I got letters from the head office saying that it was illegal to record them. Over the way they were speaking to you, the way they were threatening you every time you went in, we're losing your benefits. And every time I went in, there'd be five or six security guys would come in and sit with me.
In my experience and in my beliefs, I am the right person. You are all not, okay? But, you know, it doesn't help in the matters because they are in charge of things and I'm not.
There's not lots of jobs in there. As I explained before, the jobs that are on their computer don't exist. You phone them up, they say, the employers say, we've no record of any vacancies in this sector, or it's to register with an agency. There's plenty of agencies out there that want to take you on their books, but there isn't actually a job.
We need to start a movement. Now, for the individual job seeker, we have to, if I can meet him, maybe we can talk. But we need to put information there how we can help ourselves. But the big issue is getting rid of those who are out of the way, getting rid of people like Osborne and Millipede and all those people who are just there to prevent the justice, because there can be no reason for anybody to be made to go without.